Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior of Nazareth. We want to reference him in every single thing that we do and say. And so I will ask you this week to bow your head with me as we reference God on this evening. Hallelujah. Father God, we come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for sending us together in unity once again around this spectrum. Father God, we're coming from the north, south, east, and west. But we know that this place is not our home, but this is a temporary holdover, God. We know that you have prepared for those of us that are living according to your command a mansion up in the rolling hills of glory. And Father God, we're coming together as pilgrims through this barren land. Father God, I'm asking you to anoint me, your servant, with these lips of clay to bring a ring of word to those that may or may not know of you in the parts of their sin. Grace me, Father, your servant, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom, to those that are hurting deep within the epitome of their souls. These and other blessings, Father, we ask in your Son Jesus' mighty, matchless name. And we are all in unity of journeymen's and journeywomen's shall say together, amen and amen. Hallelujah. And I just thank you, those of you that are able to tune in tonight, and I just want you to get you a good cushion to position your posture, get comfortable, get you some chips if you like to, and get you something to sip on, and just help me to bring you to the divine word of truth. Hallelujah. On tonight. I got a little sniffle, so just excuse me. And our sermon on tonight is Arriving Late. I'm going to turn this down just a little bit because I want you to hear more of me and less of them. Our sermon, once again, is Arriving Late. And we have two key scriptures that we want to implement on tonight. And the first one will be coming from the law of Matthew 20 and 16. And it reads like this. It says that the last will be first, and the first last. That's in the law of Matthew 20 and 16. All right, we're going to go into our second key scripture reading, and it's coming out of the law of Isaiah 55 and 7, and it reads like this. It says, let the wicked forsake his way. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. That is found in the law of Isaiah 55 and 7. And we're going to go right on into our program right now. And it says that a Christian woman asked another believer how he was doing with a broad smile. He replied, repenting and rejoicing, sister. And I believe that this man was walking in a spirit of repentance, daily confessing and turning from sin and rejoicing in God's forgiveness. Hallelujah. Because honest repentance involves sorrow. We may forget that repentance leads to rejoicing. When we first repent and become new believers, we experience great joy. But if we then choose to live with unconfessed sins, our joy is lost. And we know that David believed that this joy could be restored. After pouring out his prayers of repentance to God, he made this humble plea. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. That's found in the law of Psalm 51 and 12. And as David turned back to the Lord. His sense of purpose returned. Then I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners shall be converted to you. That's verse 13. We find out through his faith in a forgiveness and merciful God, David began rejoicing again in his salvation. That's verse 14 through 15. And I would like to know, do you sometimes lose the joy of your salvation because you failed to deal with your sins? And if you just confess them, God will forgive you. We find out that in the law of 1 John 1 and 9, he'll restore your joy and help you to overcome sins that trouble you. That's what it means to be a repentant and rejoicing Christian. Hallelujah. It is hard for you to believe that God could forgive you. But we know that conviction makes us sad. Confession makes us glad. Hallelujah. And we know that that was a man, and he was an atheist. And he spent his whole entire life, 50 years presumably, denying the existence of God. Then he contracted a debilitating disease, and his health slowly deteriorated. And as he laid in the hospice house awaiting death, he was visited every day by some Christian friends he had known in his high school days. They told him again of Christ's love. But the closer the man came to dying, the more it appeared that he was not interested in God. One Sunday, a pastor stopped by to visit with him, to his surprise. He prayed with him and asked Jesus for forgiveness and salvation. We know that a few weeks later, that man died. And we find out that this same man had denied Christ for 50 years. Now, how many of you out there in my podcast, this digital listening audience, have denied Christ for 20 years or for 30 years? Or right now, you're denying Christ, but yet he's merciful. Yet he's forgiving. Yet he's long-suffering. God loves you, whether you know it or not. I don't know who I'm talking to out there in my podcast digital audience tonight, but I know one thing. This man denied Christ for 50 years, and that's a long time. That's about 5 decades that he had rejected God. And then in just 2 weeks, hallelujah, we know and we find out that a trusted and loving God loved him because of his faith. He will experience forever God's presence and his glory, his love, and his majestic, and his perfection. Some may argue that this isn't faith, but we find out that according to Jesus' parable in Matthew 20, it's not about fairness. It's about God's goodness and his grace. And that's verse 11 through 15. Have you waited such a long time to trust Jesus for salvation that you think it might be too late? I would encourage you to consider the thief on the cross who put his faith in Jesus just believed, and just before he died, that's in the law of Luke 13 and 39 through 43. If you trust Jesus now and receive his gift of eternal life, it's not too late. It's not too late for you that are out there in my podcast digital audience on tonight. Long as you got breath in your body, long as you got a heartbeat, you are alive. And you can say God and then exit on about it. Do you know that God can fill in your blanks? God knows our thoughts before it enter into the heart of man, a woman. God already knows our hearts. He knows our mindsets. He knows I do's and he knows I don'ts. He knows I wills and he knows I won'ts. God knows everything about you and he knows everything about me. So you can't hide from God. But if you have one last breath of repentance, that's all you need. And God will save you from a burning hell of fire and brimstone. God can save you from that death, hell, and a chamber. God can save you from that everlasting pit of darkness, of no return. And I don't think nobody in their right logical mindset want to die and go to hell, because hell is real. Just as sure as I'm real, I'm talking to you, I'm breathing, I am alive, you are alive, you are breathing. Hell is real. Hell is real. Is the nose ill settled in the center of your forehead? God is real. So don't get it twisted. Don't let nobody fool you to telling you that that's just wishful thinking. Because hell is real. Heaven is real. So if I was you tonight, an opportunity knocks, God gives you the opportunity. He knocks many times. So God will keep the opportunity door open for you for so long. And then God will do just like he did in the day of Noah, when he told Noah to tell them it's going to rain. And they failed to heed to his word and to his warning. They was out partying and sinning and fornicating and doing adulterous things, doing everything that they wanted to do. They was big enough and bad enough to do. But God told us, I want you to go out there and I want you to warn these people that it's going to rain. Tell them to come on into the ark. It's going to rain. Noah went on out there and told them what thus says the Lord. So, you know, just like in Noah's day, we got those same type of people today that they don't believe it. If they don't see it, they don't believe it. Oh, no, you've been lying and telling this lie about it's going to rain. We don't believe it's going to rain. We're still partying and having a good time, and we're not thinking about what you're talking about. Man, get all away from us. And Noah went on. God told Noah, you go back into the ark, get your family, get their wives, get two of each kind of cattle into the ark and close the door. And Noah obeyed God, as the word of God reveals. Noah obeyed God's warning and his word. And when Noah closed the door, you can rest assured God put a deadlock on that door. And when God closes a door, no man can open it. And when God opened a door, no man can close it. That's the kind of God we serve. God is a spiritual being. That's what he is. And that's why God tells us that ye that worship me should worship me in spirit and in truth. God came down here in the form of man. But when he went back to glory, he went back in the form of a spiritual being. Hallelujah. And so I would like to read the parable to you. And it says that the parable that Jesus told about forgiveness suggests that showing forgiveness involves a progression. We forgive because we are forgiven. Forgiveness is not a matter of quantity, but a matter of quality, of generous forgiveness. Regardless of how much or how often we have been mistreated, we are obligated to forgive because it will bring us into harmony with one another. The ruler and his debtor illustrated the first part of progression. We know that the debtor owes the king a fortune, but asks for the king to be lenient with him. He wanted more time to repay his debt. But his master took pity on him and completely canceled his debt. Did you hear what I said? I said he completely canceled his debt. And he dealt with his own debtors, though he was owed a small amount that he was owed by someone. He had a little patience, but he demanded the immediate return of his money. And this is the same man that was forgiven of the king, of his debt. And he wiped his slate clean. But yet somebody owed him, and he warned them, hey man, you pay me my money right now. We got some of them folks right here on planet Earth. You know, they don't have the patience of Job. Man, I loaned you that money last week, and I got to have it back this week. But this is the way this man was. He demanded his money. He said, I need my money right now. And we know that we are so much like that man, just like I said. We have offended God's limits and are forgiven without limits. And although God forgives us, God don't put no limit on his forgiveness. But whatever we do, God forgives us. We won't release. But we tend to, we are slow and we are ungenerous with our forgiveness. How often should we forgive those who offend us? And we know that Peter thought the number 7 sounded about right. Jesus had a more infinite number in mind. But because Peter seems to need a number, he allowed himself to be confined by saying 70 times 7. But the number suggested that we need to forgive as infinite as God forgives us. And I remember reading a banner about an individual said, you know, if somebody messed me around one time, you know, I'll give them another chance. And then if they come and mess me around a second time, you know, they just taking advantage of me. But you know, I beg to differ. Because how many times has the Lord have forgiven you of your wrongdoing, for your sin? You can't even begin to count the times that God has forgiven us for the things that we have said and even the thoughts that have entered into the mind of man and woman. You know, just a negative thought is a sin, so you don't even have to utter the word out. Just having it in your psychological mind is a sin. But yet God forgives us. But then we get, you know, impatient with people, you know, when they can't come through on their word, or maybe some come up in their lives that they're not able to come through with their commitment, but yet we want to kick them to the curb. But see, that is not being of God. Because we are supposed to be loving. We are supposed to be kind. You hear me? That's what the word of God says. We are to be helpful one to another. But yet we find a whole lot of malice, a whole lot of deceit going on in the church house, outside of the church house. People that say they saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost yet have malice and hatred and covetous in their hearts for their own brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. I tell you, you need to check yourself before you wreck yourself. Because God do not honor that. You're supposed to rejoice when God blesses the next fellow man, a woman. You are to rejoice. We are to rejoice in each other's triumph. We are to rejoice. And then when someone loses a loved one, we are supposed to reap right along with them. We're not supposed to just go on our daily itinerary like it doesn't bother us. It doesn't have anything to do with us. Because if we are helping one to another, we are in the body of Christ, we are to be helping one unto another, as the word of God has implemented us to do. But we got to get our heart right. You got to clean out the cracks and the crevices of your heart. Because you're not going to heaven with the crab and the hatred and malice that you got hidden in your heart. See, your mind said one thing, but then your heart's saying something else. You see? And so you've got to get on the same page. Your heart and your mind, you've got to get on the same page. You can't be unequally yoked, but you got to be yoked with the Word of God. But I find out, you know, that people, I tell you, they really behoove me. They surprise me every day. Every day I am being baffled by one thing or another. And yet you call yourself Christmas. You call yourself saints of God. But, you know, you don't have love for one another. You don't have love. And that's the first thing that God said is to love. That was the first key element of his commands that he told us to do. I want you to love one another as I have loved the church. How you think you're going to go to heaven if you don't have love? Because if you don't have love, that means you don't have the Holy Ghost, and you can't get into heaven unless you got the Holy Ghost. So whether you lack it or not, it's not my sin, it's the sin of God. I didn't write the Bible, God did. So if you have any problem, I would suggest you to call Jesus, call him up, and tell him what you want. I am his messenger, and I'm only mimicking what his word says. That's what I'm doing. But I tell you, it's just so heartbreaking to know that us, as people of God, yet in the 21st century, we can't seem to get along. Can't seem to have that love that we're supposed to have for one another. That brotherly love and that sisterly love that God tells us to have. That the Bible says that your lying and truth is not in you. So you need to go back and repent and come back again. Now the Bible says that if we seek harmony, just like I said, if we seek harmony in our churches and peace in our families and contentment in our communities, it is our responsibility as members of the household of faith to maintain harmony. And we can help achieve that as we practice true forgiveness. So you've got to practice harmony. You've got to practice love in your heart. Take out that hatred and replace it with love. Take out that malice and replace it with love. Take out that covetousness and replace it with love. And then you will be doing as Christ has instructed you and I to do. You say you love God whom you have not seen. But then the people that you see every day, you don't even love them. So see, that there is falsifying your documents right there. Because you have to be equally straight across. Bible is the true divine word of truth. The whole 66 books is the divine doctrine of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So, before ending, I would suggest you clean out the crevice of your heart. Get a loving heart for your brothers and your sisters created. Have more loving man and a fellow woman. And then God will bless you. And I hope and I pray that I've said something to infuse your spirit and impact your mind as I have brought it to you to divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, hallelujah. If you have any prayer petitions, you want the old ship of Zion to go down in prayer on your behalf, you are encouraged to send all your correspondence. God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Ministry. Hallelujah. Your station has been Blog Talk Radio. Your program has been the old Bible. You can make your correspondence attention Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. Email address is janiceallaboutgod@yahoo.com. Till we meet again, you are encouraged to go in God as God goes in you. Bye for now.
Just go about. Come on.